Once again, it's great to be in front of a fellow artist. My fellow artist brother, who are you?
My name is Clem Roy Harris Jr., and I'm 34 years of age, and I've been doing art since I was 4 years old.
What medium of art do you express in?
Character design and graphic design.
When did you decide that this art form was the platform that would help you best express yourself?
I decided that in sixth grade. I was going to Southwood Middle School, and I got a chance to meet Stan Lee. And he told me that artists don't get to create. They have to do what they're told.
What was Stan Lee doing in Southwood Middle School at the time? And that's in what state, by the way?
That's in Miami, Florida. So the school was just starting the magnet program, so they invited a bunch of artist guests to come out to the school. And one of the teachers used to be a comic artist, and he invited, he knew someone and knew someone and got a chance to talk to Stan Lee. He came out and visited for a few hours, and we got a chance to talk to him and pick his brain.
Now, that in of itself is a mind-blowing experience. Not too many sixth graders get to say that they met Stan Lee.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was amazing. And from meeting him, that the answers to the questions that I had really gave me insight to exactly what I wanted to do.
If it wasn't Stan Lee, who or what was your inspiration?
I would say my inspiration came from a few things. One was my mother. And growing up, we would be watching television and something would come on television and she would always turn and ask me, "How do you think they made that?" And I wouldn't have the answer, but later on she told me she was just trying to get me to expand my thinking to try to figure out how they made whatever it is that was on television so that I can do something different. So she always was telling me, when you create, you want to create something that's never been done before.
So your mom was pushing you, it sounds like, from an early age to basically blaze your own path.
Yes.
So what's your educational background around your art? Did you self-study? Did you have a professional trainer or mentor? Did you go to school for it?
Going to Southwood Middle, that was the first magnet school I went to. I went there from sixth grade to seventh grade. Then eighth grade, I went to Design and Architecture Senior High for their eighth grade program. And then they opened the school from just the eighth grade program to 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th. So then I went to Dash from 9th, 10th, and 11th grade. Then my 12th grade year, I decided to go to a school that was closer to home. So I ended up graduating from Miami Killian Senior High, but I pretty much went to magnet art schools the entire time from sixth grade all the way up to 11th.
I'm assuming that you took it to undergraduate studies as well?
Yes, I decided to go to an art institute college, which was opening up in Miami, Florida. And the school was previously called IFAC, which was International Fine Arts College. And then they changed to the Art Institute of Miami. So I ended up going to the Art Institute of Miami to study fine arts and computer animation. And that's what I have my bachelor's degree in.
What personal value do you get out of working in your art?
I would say the personal value that I get is complete joy of creating something that was in my mind.
What are some of the things that are running through your mind as you are creating the pieces and the art and the characters that you create when you say pure joy?
So the best way I can explain it is, in my mind, I don't have the entire idea like clearly, but it's kind of in a fog. It's like in a fog. And as I'm drawing on the paper and erasing and drawing and erasing, it becomes clear. And something that would seem as simple as creating a logo on a coin could take anywhere between 30 minutes to 4 hours. And during this time, the fog becomes clearer and clearer and clearer until it is literally what I see in my head and it's on the paper.
So it's almost like a discovery.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely a discovery.
What value do others receive from your art? So do you teach? Do you have a business? Is it like a strictly personal thing?
It's a little bit of everything. So I teach visual arts to kindergarten students all the way up to eighth grade students for an after school program. And then I do freelance artwork just to keep my skills sharp. And I'm working on a animated series called Kid Big, Earth's Galactic Hero. And I continue to sharpen and keep my skills up to par doing those three things.
You mentioned that your origins are from Miami, Florida. Where are you based now?
Now I'm based in Bronx, New York. And moving from Miami, Florida to Bronx, New York was the best decision that I made in my life.
When did you make that move?
I made that move in 2010 on May 21st. It was literally just a spur of the moment thing that I did with one of my friends. Things weren't going as planned after we graduated, and we wanted to come to New York for Memorial Day weekend that year, and we just decided to move. And I got rid of my apartment, sold my car, furniture, and everything, packed up, and 2 months later we were up here.
What were some of the things that, as you say, we should get ourselves out of here and go up to greener pastures?
A little bit of everything. Life, love, professionally. And I felt like I needed something new. I really felt like I needed that new thing in my life that was going to get me to focus more and push towards the thing that I'm trying to accomplish.
So what is something about your art form that you know, but perhaps people don't know, but they should know?
That's a really good question. I would say whenever I design, the thing that I focus on the most is the details. I feel like people, as human beings, when we're walking around, everyone's using their eyes, but they're not really seeing. And when I say that, I mean, like, you can look at a rose and know, oh, it's a rose. It's in that shape, kind of like a teardrop, and it's red. But are you really seeing the details in the rose? Are you looking at the details on the petals? Are you looking at the details on the stem and the leaves and just the different shades of green and different shades of red? So what I try to do in every single piece of art that I do is focus on those details and try to make everyone that looks or experiences my art in any way, shape, or form to open their eyes to seeing and not just looking.
Can you share some boundaries, either physical or mental boundaries, that you cross to access your zone?
Boundaries that I cross. I don't think I cross many, besides maybe neglecting my wife a little bit. I think that's
okay, that's a very risky boundary to cross, my brother. Okay.
I think I do that because, and she'll know, like, I'll start at 6 o'clock and it's 9 o'clock, and she'll come and ask me if I want something to eat, and she'll ask me and I hear her, but it feels like I can't respond. I'll be drawing and she'll say, do you want something to eat? And in my mind, I'm like, yeah, I want something to eat, but nothing comes out. So I'm drawing and then she'll come in and she'll say, do you want something to eat? And she'll say it in my ear while I'm at my desk. And then I stop and I look at her and I don't say anything. And she's like, I've been asking you like 5 times and you aren't responding. And I'm like, yes, I am. I'm sitting here like, yes, I have responded. Yes, I want something to eat. And then I say it. And she's like, oh, I'm sorry, you're in the zone. Keep going, I'll make your play.
What are some lines that you won't cross?
Lines that I won't cross is, growing up, my mother was an evangelist. So I don't like creating characters that are blasphemous. Like, oh, this guy is stronger than any god or anything. I don't want to create anything like that. So I think those are, that's a line that I won't cross. And definitely anything that would compromise my integrity or, you know, compromise my beliefs in any kind of way.
Have there been any significant changes in your field of art expression that, in your personal opinion, have helped or hindered that art form?
Yes, definitely. But I think it may be a little of both. I've noticed in 2D animation that everything isn't hand-drawn. A lot of times the artists are maybe drawing one or two frames, and then they replicate everything else in a digital program called Flash. I can literally definitely tell when it's hand-drawn and then when I see it in Flash, because Flash is a very the best way I can express it is like it's like a water program. So whatever I draw by hand won't look like it's flowing like water like it would in Flash. So I'll notice that, okay, this isn't the A team that's doing the artwork. This is the B team because now they're using Flash and it doesn't look that good. It looks okay, but it doesn't look as good as the premier art style that's on the coloring books and the posters and different things like that. So that's one thing. And then a lot of times with the vehicles and anything mechanical in these animated shows, they're all done in 3D.
You know, I have noticed that. Now, do you think vehicles might look better or might have a significantly more, I don't know, because this is definitely not my art form, so I probably sound like a rank amateur right now. Do you think there is a specific reason why they spend less time attempting to hand draw vehicles as opposed to just creating a 3D and then just posting it on the...
Definitely. I believe it's a money thing. It's always a money thing. So they're doing what will cost the least and will give the best results. But when you do it in 3D, it has to have the same movement as 2D does. And a lot of times, whatever is in 3D is just moving in one direction. Two things are never moving at the same time. Either the entire object is moving by itself and it's still, or the arms are moving at one at a time, or whatever. It's never in unison, because usually when you're drawing in 2D animation, everything has to be in unison or it will not look correct. So,
what are some tools, then, technology or material, that help you bring out the best in your art?
Oh, man, this is a lot. Okay, so what I like to use is I have this aluminum ruler that I've had since I was in 11th grade. And I have a mechanical pencil that I've had since I was in the 9th grade that I've used to draw most of my images. And then I have a 0.3 mechanical photo glue pencil that I use to draw everything. So I use that, those for the actual lines. And then the paper that I use my standard heavyweight sketchbook. And I also use drafting paper.
What is the value that these material things bring to the table? Why not just a piece of paper, or why not just like any pencil that you can just like scribble down? And
because I kind of feel like my artistic ability is like magical. And in order for me to allow the viewer to experience my magic, I need to have these specific tools for them to experience it. Now, I can have them experience the magic on a regular piece of paper, but I wouldn't be as comfortable. I wouldn't be as happy with it. It would take me a little bit more time to get into that zone. But if I had all of my materials, which I keep on me everywhere I go, if I had all my materials with me, my pencils, my pens, my rulers, everything, when people look at it, they're going to look, and they're not just going to look at it and move and flip to the next page. They're going to stop and inhale the magic that I put on the paper.
I like that way that you put that, inhale the magic. So piggybacking on to that question, what are some personal habits that you employ to successfully support your artistic expression?
Okay, so what I'm constantly doing all the time, every day, is gathering references, images, no matter what they are. I have over 100 gigs of just pictures, streaming from robots to weapons to comic images to models to fitness, muscular guys, girls, and older women, different environments, because I feel like I said before, there's details in every single thing. You never know when you could use these specific things to help you bring out the magic, you know? So I'm always looking for references so I can be out and about and see the way the clouds look outside and take a picture of that. Cause I'm like, that would be really cool to see a character come flying through the clouds. And like, sometimes my friends will see me and they're like, what are you thinking about? And I'm like, when I'm walking about in the city, I'm in another world, always. If someone comes up to me and say, what are you thinking about right now? It'll probably be something like, I could see like some robots jumping off the building from here to there, and a car comes speeding through and a guy grabbed the car and all these different things. So my imagination is always moving.
I think for someone who makes his living based off of the worlds that he creates in his mind, I think that's a great habit for you to have to never turn it off.
Yeah, I never turn it off. Even in my sleep. Even in my sleep, like last night, my wife told me, like, you were talking about, like, instead of using a wooden stake to kill a vampire, use a silver one. And I was like, what? So, like, when did we watch a vampire? Like, I don't watch vampire movies, but why was I dreaming about a vampire movie? And I couldn't tell. I was like, I don't know.
Can you share with us an event in your life, either personal or artistic, that has caused you to question what you were doing? Can you take us to the lowest point for a major failure as an artist that might have caused you to kind of second guess or have doubt?
Definitely. In 2012, the cartoon project that I'm working on, Kid Big, I thought it was at its best. I thought no one could tell me that this isn't ready for television. I entered it into a contest called Pitch to the Industry in Miami, Florida, and I was selected as one of the finalists. So I was extremely happy about being selected as one of the finalists. And I get there and I have statues and posters and pitch books and all of this stuff that I have been drawing and working on for like 3 or 4 years to show the judges from Cartoon Network, Sony and Viacom and Telemundo. And they tell me that I definitely have something, but it's not absolutely perfect. They didn't want to give me the first place prize because the first place prize was to help the designer get their project pitch ready. And they said mine wasn't.
Taking you deeper into that moment, what did that specifically do to you on the inside, mentally, emotionally?
It really pissed me off because this is something that I have lived and breathed. This is the only thing that I was working on. And feeling that what you've been working on, you poured your heart and soul into, that they didn't think it was up to par or as good as it could be, it really made me question, like, well, maybe I shouldn't be doing this. Maybe I need to just focus solely on graphic design instead of character designing and cartoons. But one thing about me, even when I was a child, my mother would tell me that when you get angry, a lot of times you don't quit. You get angry at whatever the result is and you do your best to change it. So that's what I did. I was like, okay, they're going to tell me that it's not pitch ready. So let me focus. Let me study more and see what's been done. And let me see if I can surpass that. So that's what I started doing, studying everything that was out and recreating all the characters and keeping them the same at their core, but making them better. And then I started focusing more on the story and other elements of it. And I think whatever I was lacking then has definitely been made up now and surpassed.
A final thing about the lowest point, do these moments still come up for you or do they still come into play at this stage in your career?
Yeah, they definitely do. And it's not necessarily about the project itself. It's just time. I am ready to be done. Like, finished with everything, having everything ready for me to take a trip to California and show them, listen, this is what it was, this is what it is now. And going in a meeting and letting them experience the magic that me and my colleagues have worked on to make it big, the next big thing in entertainment.
You know, it's been said that a fanatic redoubles his efforts while losing sight of his goals. Now, what are signs that you pick up on that let you know that a project should just be put down or that maybe you should go in a different direction?
When it starts to expand out of control. And what I mean by that is this. Prior to working on Kid Big, I was working on a video game. And most video games have maybe 3 or 4 main characters. My game started out having 4 characters and it kept expanding till about 16 to 20. And every single character was beautiful, an amazing character, but their story is super complicated and they're all intertwined in some kind of way. And I'm like, even though this was my first or second project growing up, something that I started working on and creating, maybe something needs to be put on the back burner and rehashed later on.
Okay. Have you ever returned back to that project that you put down?
I have in the past here and there, just drawing up different ideas, or whenever I'm online, I'll see a picture that I'm like, okay, this looks amazing. And I know that I will need it later on. Let me save it. The name of the project was Quest of Dreams. It's always in the back of my head because it's the first one that I've done. And it's something that I never forget. So I'm always thinking about it if something comes up that makes me remember it.
Question for you about your thoughts on collaboration. Do you feel it's necessary to your art form?
Yes, I think it's necessary and very imperative, because this is one thing that I had to read to learn, that a lot of times when you're creating a project, you don't want to share it with anybody because you're afraid that someone's going to steal it or whatever. But what I learned was that sometimes there's certain things that you're not good at, that you can't do, and that's okay. So you have to find people that can either do it for you or work with you on it. One of the things that I'm not that well in drawing is mechanical objects or vehicles and things like that. I can do it to a specific extent, but not as well as someone that solely focuses on that. So I'll take the first two steps and then I'll pass it along to one of the people that work with me, and they'll take it from B to Z. I'll do A and B, and they'll take it from C to Z after that. And it comes out amazing when you take the first step, or you have like an idea going, and you just need someone to help you get to the finish line, and you do it, and they're like, yo, this is amazing. Like, when I work with the guy and I show him the different things and I tell him the ideas, he's excited more than I am just to do it. And this is just with me explaining specific ideas or different things with the project, and he's stoked about doing it.
There was an interesting point that you brought up about that initial fear of wanting to bring it out to the public for support because someone might take the idea rather than help you with it. So now my next question to you is, do you consider imitation a form of flattery?
It depends on what type of imitation. I feel like if I, as an artist, take an image drawn by Jim Lee of Superman, and I take my character, Kid Big, and I put him in that exact same pose that Jim Lee came up with, that's giving him a nod. Like, okay, I saw what you did, I admired it, and I'm putting Kid Big in that pose to give recognition to what you did. That is what I don't have an issue with. What I have an issue with is when a person will literally take a person, a character, Superman, Batman, drawn by an artist, and it just looks like Superman or Batman put on a different costume. Same shading style, same line work, almost same color style, and it's basically, it looks like Jim Lee had a real bad day and he drew this image, and you're taking credit. So that I don't like.
I don't know too many bad days that Jim Lee ever had, so.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. Jim Lee's amazing.
What is the biggest competitive aspect of your art?
One of the biggest competitive aspects is I want to be the best at what I do. Growing up, I didn't have my father around that much. So the male role model that I looked up to was Michael Jordan, not necessarily for him playing basketball, but the way his attitude was towards basketball. He wanted to go out there and give 100% every single night when he played on the basketball court. So I wanted to mimic that, but on the art spectrum. Anything that I worked at, I wanted to be the absolute best. I wanted to give 100% in everything that I did when it came to art. So anytime I put pencil to paper or paintbrush to canvas, it was going to be 1,000% from me.
What project are you working on this very moment that you would like people to know about?
The project that I'm working on is Kid Big, Earth's Galactic Hero. And it's something that I've been doing since my senior year in college. It started off as a 2D animation assignment. And from that first little drawing that was done on drafting paper, I fell in love with it. And I kept changing it from there, and it just kept changing until what it is now. And I think that Kid Big brings something new to entertainment in general that hasn't been done very well in entertainment in history, period. And that's what I'm trying to do.
Doing a bit of a time warp, you mentioned just now a present project that you want people to know about. what is a project that you completed in the past that you are most proud of?
Okay, so when I was living in Miami, Florida, I got all from the career director at Miami International University, and they told me that a famous person needed a campaign done, but I couldn't tell anybody. It was Dwayne Wade from the Miami Heat. He was starting a barbershop line, and he needed an artist to do all of the design work for his project. Business cards, logos, treatment, everything that had to do with the project, he needed an artist to do that. So what I did was I contacted him, and I got a chance to sit down with him and meet with him. I was compensated handsomely for the project, but it took a lot of hard work, and it lasted for about 6 years, and then he moved on from that. But the groundwork that I laid for this barbershop is still the same. So it went from Miami Cuts to Zoe Cuts to T.O. Cuts. And the same logo design that I came up with for them is the core of the design work that they do now.
You met Stan Lee in the sixth grade, and Dwayne Wade asked you to work on a design project.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Extraordinary experiences very early on.
Yeah.
Extremely fortunate, opportunistic experiences for you that must have done and given you a great amount of value. Wow. Yeah.
That's, very blessed.
That it is ridiculously amazing. Okay. So it seems like you're pretty busy. But what do you do to recharge?
I watch a movie. At home, I have my work hard drive. I have the hard drive that's in my computer. And then I have an entertainment hard drive that has many different cartoons, action movies, adventure movies that are special to me and they mean something. So if I'm, you know, I've been working on Kid Big for 2 weeks and I'm like, I'm tired, and that happens, I watch Batman Under the Red Hood, which is an amazing.
Amazing. I think that's one of the top three.
I agree.
DC animated universe films that they made to date.
And I will watch the Last Airbender, Avatar, with Aang, which is
I know it well.
One of my favorite
legendary series.
I'll go and watch maybe 4 episodes from each book. And The Legend of Korra. Korra wasn't as good as Aang. But, you know, the animation was very beautiful in the show. So there's a lot of episodes that I'll go through and I'll watch. And watching those movies, when I talk about magic, I feel like it has it. A lot of these movies have that magic, and it stirs up the imagination and it gives inspiration. And that's what it does to me. So I could literally be drawing and doing work for 2 weeks straight and have no break and go and watch one of these. And it's the best way I can describe it is the feeling you get right before the drop on a roller coaster. That's literally what it is. And if I can literally walk out of the movie theater or just teleport from my couch to my desk immediately after watching it and get to work, that's exactly what I'll do. And that's the feeling that I get.
That being said, what are your top three distractions?
My top three distractions. Okay, number three, I would say, is shopping. That's number three. Number two, my wife. She can definitely be a distraction because sometimes she'll say, "Oh, you know, you're ignoring me," and I'm like, "I'm not ignoring you. I'm working." My number one distraction, I would say, is sneakers. I collect sneakers, so I will be online looking for sneakers. And I'm like, why am I doing this when I should be working on Kid Big? And this will happen after maybe I go and I sit at my desk and I'm like, okay, I'm going to do some drawing. And then I click and I go to sneaker news. And then I go to this sneaker and sneaker, sneaker, sneaker. And I'm like, I sat here to do work on Kid Big. Why in the heck am I looking at sneakers? And then I'm like, okay, let me put my music on and let me get to work. And it happens a lot.
That kind of had me kind of curious. How far back does your sneaker distraction go?
All the way to 2009. That's when it started. Growing up, I didn't have a lot of shoes. But, you know, once you start making your own money and you're able to afford things that you've wanted, that's when I started collecting them. And then I noticed that, you know, they could be a benefit to taking care of your shoes that you're wearing. You can resell them or whatever. So in college, that's what I started doing. Collecting shoes, reselling them, and it keeps me going back for more when I have 76 pairs of shoes.
76. Yes. Only 2 feet. 76 pairs of shoes.
All of them in great condition.
I mean, you can look at that as kind of an investment because if any time, you know, your cash gets low, somebody can definitely use them.
Definitely.
Okay, what are your top three energy boosters?
My top three energy boosters, movies, my wife. Because sometimes I'll have an idea in my head and then she'll say, oh, you know what I was thinking? You know, maybe instead of having this, you could go this route. You know, the character do this, or prime example, I was trying to figure out where to put a specific base in my story. And she gave me the idea of how about making it in the mountains where it overlooks the city? And I was like, oh, my God. And then the idea is just like everything. When she told me that, everything came. And I was like, it all makes sense now. Everything makes sense. And then I talked it out with my writer and he loved the idea. And I was like, it all makes sense. So, you know, just as much as she can be a distraction, she definitely is a big part of the inspiration. Movies, her, and art in general, or life, I would say. Because sometimes I'll wake up in the morning, get dressed, and go to work. And on my way to work, a car will stop a specific way, or I'll see a motorcycle, or the clouds will be looking a certain kind of way, and I'll get inspiration immediately and can't wait to go on my lunch break so that I can draw instead of eat.
You know, you are one of the few people that did not produce a mental cringe when I say, what's your inspiration? And then someone just throws out life and then they kind of just leave it like that, which usually sounds corny whenever someone says it.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that you gave it a very specific context, I can 100% see what you mean by that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, definitely thank you for breaking that corny life curse.
No problem.
With this interview.
It is, because it'll come from everything, from I could be on the bus and look at a button on the bus, and the way it is shaped or the way it was made will like spark something in my mind, or a woman wearing pants, which I got that kind of stuff from a professor in college, of just admiring the human body from toddlers all the way up to older people, and just to see the way people go about their everyday life and pay attention to that and see the life and the magic from them you can take from that. My mother used to always tell me, you with a lot of things, you have to bite off the meat and throw away the bone. So that's what I try to do every day when I'm out and about.
Your mom sounds like a wise woman.
Yeah, she was definitely amazing.
If money, personnel, equipment, location were no object, how would you use that towards your dream project?
I would create a studio to actually, you know, get Kid Big put on television or an online outlet. I would employ all of my friends, everybody that I know that literally has a skill to apply towards this, family members, everybody. And then after, you know, Kid Big is rolling and the success comes in, then I would go to the small art colleges and I would literally buy computers and art supplies for the students that can't afford it for themselves. Because that was an obstacle that I had to get past, me and a lot of my friends in school. We were working on one computer. So if one person was up at 3 o'clock in the morning, you had to be up at 3 a.m. waiting for him to be finished so that you could get one. So that's what I would definitely do.
What advice do you recommend to someone who is just getting started?
The advice that I have for a person that's just getting started is live it. Live this. Live art. If you like drawing sneakers, draw sneakers every day. When you're tired and you want to go to sleep, stay up an extra 45 minutes and do some drawing. And you'll notice how that 45 minutes will turn into 2 hours and 45 minutes. And don't let anybody tell you you can't study this. Don't let anyone deter you off of what it is you want to do, regardless of what the media says, regardless of what anybody says. Stay on your path. Don't let anybody dictate your path. And last develop the eye to see, not look, but see. And I tell my students that a lot of times when people look at things, they look at it and they don't see it. Learn to see. And when you learn to see, you can, I don't want to say emulate the magic that you'll see, but you will be able to create that magic for yourself so everybody else can see it.
Success definitely happens in incremental steps. It's never an overnight process. And success is cumulative.
Yes, it is.
You're taking small, imperfect actions every day.
Mm-hmm.
They amount to the mountain, or they amount to, you know, that golden goose. You know, that first place prize, you know, no one has ever turned on a light switch, click, and their name was just there at the promised land.
You're absolutely right.
So finally, to wrap up the interview, where can people find your work, first of all, and how can they connect with you?
So you can find Kid Big Work on Instagram at @KidBig_official Instagram. And also, if you want to see my personal graphic design work, you can go to ChosenOneDesign.com.
Okay, so once again, this was Clem Roy Harris Jr., a very talented visual artist,
thank you, cartoonist.
I think he's going to do some really great things.
Appreciate it.
Once again, this is Lord Bison.